Ten Commandments. We began 2 weeks ago a series of lessons on the Ten Commandments. And one of the things I was very clear to iterate in the first lesson was the idea of the covenants, right? So we've got the Old Covenant, which is over and done with. Hebrews 8 is very clear about that, right? It was passing away. And then we have the Covenant, which is iterated in the books of Acts through Revelation and the new covenant that we have in Christ, right? Because Christ lived while the covenant was in effect. And when we talk about the Ten Commandments, I said when we began, most of them are repeated covenant. Therefore, they're still binding. This one, the third one, is one of two that is not repeated in the new covenant. The third commandment, of course, being, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Now, this one, the Sabbath one, Sabbath and keep it holy, are the two that are not repeated in the new covenant. But as we've said, that doesn't mean these are useless. As we're looking at the morality, the concepts behind these commandments, looking at the principles behind them, of course, we know for the Sabbath day, of course, the seventh day, the Sabbath rest, of course, that's not repeated in the new covenant, but we still have the day that we meet, right? The first day of the week idea, and that sort of a similar idea is the Sabbath day. Similarly, as we look at this commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, it is a hard to understand commandment. And I would wager, go so far as to say, perhaps the hardest one to understand in the whole Bible. Now, that there are obviously, I think, a lot of commands that are harder to do, harder to follow. But this one is tough to understand. And really, one of the questions we're asking as we look at this commandment, why isn't it repeated in the New Covenant? Because it's just not. As you read through the New Testament, you're not going to see. Now, you're going to see similar ideas, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The first problem, and I've said this before, we don't really use God's name, basically ever. When was the last time you used God's actual name? Now, you're thinking, we talk about God all the time. That's true, we do. The Lord is a title, ruler, person in charge, leader is sort of analogous, it's a job. And the word God is most analogous to a race or a kind of being. So even in the New Testament, when we talk about the word God, which in the Greek would be theos, they would use that word to describe Hermes or Zeus or whoever, as Paul's walking through the Areopagus in Acts chapter 17, all these temples to these other gods, because the word God is the idea of a deity, right? So that's not his name. His name is not God. He told us what his name was, which was the reading for us in Exodus 3. When scripture says, I am the Lord your God, it's kind of a terrible translation of an idea that we're all pretty familiar with. If I said to Gideon, I am Chris, your father, that's the same sort of construction. Or I'm Joe, your doctor. I am Yahweh, your deity. That's what God is saying here. So, and I've said this before, if you look at your English Bibles, if you have your Bible open, if you're looking at Exodus chapter 20, or if you look at, actually Exodus 3 is the only time where it's not done this way, but if you look at Exodus chapter 20, you see the Lord in little all caps. It's a different font than the rest of the Bible, and it's the big L, capital L, and then a little capital O-R-D. That is this word, the name of God, Yahweh. And I don't know why they've chosen to keep translating the Lord, when that is clearly a title that is used in other places to describe just like a ruler or someone who's in charge. And in fact, one of the passages we're going to look at today uses both of those. You're going to see the Lord in regular letters, because it's Adonai, the one who's in charge. And then you're going to see the Lord in those small caps, the personal name of God. I don't know why we keep choosing to translate it this way. So the commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain, really should be, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. He has a name, and he told us what it was. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and he even understands this, Moses understands this inherent thing, the God of your fathers, the deity, the thing, the being that your fathers worshiped. That's what this word God is. The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, what's his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am, this word Yahweh, has sent me to you. God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, that's the idea of this deity idea, right? God as a deity has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. How many generations remembered him this way? And if I'm being honest, we kind of have failed at it, to remember God this way. I am. And I've done many lessons on this, obviously. Yet it is interesting to me. And this is one of the conflicts as we think about the new, old and new covenants. The New Testament, only a couple of times, two that I can think of, uses this idea of his personal name. Because the New Testament, by and large, uses either theos, God, the generic term for deity, that they would also use to describe the false gods, the little g gods. In English, we've chosen to do capital G and little g to denote the difference. They wouldn't have done that in Greek. Or that uses kurios, the Lord, which is the generic term for the person who's in charge. The Lord, the ruler, the leader, the one who's in charge. The New Testament doesn't really use Yahweh, doesn't use the I am, except in one or two places, which may be why it's this commandment is not repeated in the new covenant. Now, the second problem, what does it mean to take the name of Yahweh in vain? Now, the NIV has misused the name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Both the word take and the word vain, and I've talked about this before, are pesky Hebrew words that mean a billion different things. They're context-sensitive words. Deuteronomy 5:11, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And then same chapter, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The underlined words are the same words. Those are the same words in Hebrew. Vain and false. You shall not take, Exodus 27, verse 7, you shall not take the name of Yahweh. And then later, three chapters later, Exodus 23, you shall not spread. Same word. Same Hebrew word. These words are, they mean a lot of different things. The word translated here as vain has three primary translations in the ESV. Other versions are similar. 28 times, vain, empty, or worthless. 22 times as false, lies, or falsehood. 8 times as destruction or ruin. That's a wide range of meanings, really, when you think about it. Now, the word translated here as take, used hundreds of times in the Old Testament. Various translations, if you look at your Bible and look through, I would really recommend an Englishman's Concordance if you don't have one already. Lift, grant, bear, spread, support, carry, raise, bring, etc., etc. This word is translated, you know, a dozen ways in the Old Testament. They've chosen take here, I'm not sure why. So you shall not lift, bear, spread, or carry Yahweh's name in a vain, worthless, false, or destructive way. What does that mean? What are we doing with that? What are we to do with that? Now, this is where, and Loy Mitchell, those of you who know Loy Mitchell, was famous. This is one of his famous things that he said a lot. The best commentary on a Bible verse is what? Another Bible verse, right? So we're gonna look at some other passages that talk about using Yahweh's name. Now, the easy one, swearing on his name. That's easy to understand. Leviticus 19:12, you shall not swear by my name falsely and so profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh, repeated in the New Testament, James 5:12. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or earth or anything else, which would include the name of the Lord. All you need to say is a simple yes or no, otherwise you will be condemned. That's pretty easy to understand. Don't swear by the name of the Lord. Done. Leviticus 24:10 through 16. Now an Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Name capitalized here because it's referring to God's name. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shemalith and the daughter of Dibri, the tribe of Dan, and they put him in custody until the will of Yahweh. One of the things I'm trying to do in this sermon is put his name where it's in Scripture instead of the Lord. This is one of those places, right? Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation of Israel stone him. Speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. I think God was pretty serious about this, don't you think? That this mattered to him? This matters to Yahweh, how we use his name? Here, there's two ideas here, blaspheming and cursing, and you sort of get the idea here, right? As these two guys are sort of tussling and fighting, and sort of, I think, obviously in a time of anger or passion or really a lot of extreme emotions as these two guys are fighting, he just yells out, and I don't know what he said, could have been any number of things. I don't know what exactly he said, but something to the effect of using Yahweh's name in an inappropriate way, blaspheming or cursing, and because of that, he was killed. The idea of profaning, which is making common that which is holy, or blaspheming, which is a very similar idea, comes up a lot regarding God's name, both in the Old and New Testaments. Leviticus 22, 31 through 33, you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Here is where the generic Adonai is instead of Yahweh. I am the one who is in charge. You shall not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am Yahweh who sanctifies you, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh. You shall not profane my holy, there's a contrast in those two words, my name is holy, you shall not make common or ordinary. You shall not use it in common or ordinary ways. It is special, it is reserved, it is only to be used in the right way. Exodus 36, 22, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. What happened? Israel had obviously lowered or lessened or made common Yahweh's name among the nations. So when the other nations looked at Israel, they looked at Israel and they looked at Yahweh, who was supposedly the God of Israel, and they considered Israel and Yahweh, and they obviously thought something like, oh, Yahweh must not be very special. Look at how the people of Israel are acting. They must not care very much about Yahweh. Yahweh must not be a very powerful God. Yahweh might not even be the real God. That's what is happening here. Through their actions, through their sin, through their wickedness, the other nations around them considered the name of Yahweh to be common, ordinary, nothing special. You have profaned my name among the nations, made me look inferior because of the way you have acted. And so it's not for you that I'm going to act, because I want the nations to know who I am. Now, Romans 2, as we come to the New Testament, Romans 2, 21 through 24, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law and dishonor God by breaking the law, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You and your sinful behavior have caused people who are not mine to look at me badly. They have ascribed ordinary, unholy, common things to me and my name because of the way that you have acted. This, as I think about the way Scripture talks about it, this is the thing we are most in danger of doing in regards to God's name. Because we could do that in Dewey and Bartlesville. People could look at this group of people who supposedly belong to Yahweh, belong to this awesome, amazing, perfect deity, and think, oh, that God must not be very special. Look at how they act. they must not really care about their God. Look at how they treat each other. And thus the name of God would be blasphemed among those who are lost because we don't act the way that we should act or do the things we should do. And in this case specifically, the sin of hypocrisy, right? Of preaching out against all these various sins and then doing the same things that we preach against. When we behave poorly, it reflects on his name. Specifically, it lessens and cheapens or profanes how people consider Yahweh. This is a matter of reputation and glory, as we've talked about in class for the last few weeks. The idea of giving glory to God, right? When you behave poorly in the name of Yahweh, then Yahweh's glory is diminished. Not just among people here, but among those who potentially could call on his name in the future. And why would they do that? Why would they call on the name of the Lord if they see what we're doing and it's not holy? Now, this is not just an Old Testament idea, as I've said. The idea of cheapening Yahweh. 1 Timothy 1:19-20, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting faith and a good conscience, some have made a shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now, the idea of handed over to Satan, we've looked at in 1 Corinthians 5 quite a bit, that he's talking about he's rejected them from the church, right? He's delivered them over to Satan by refusing to acknowledge they are part of God's kingdom. Why? So that they would not blaspheme or talk badly about Yahweh, that they would not talk badly about God. James 2:5-7. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man and not the rich ones who oppress you, and the ones who drag you into, or are not the rich ones those who oppress you, and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Now he's talking about being partial, right? Rich guy comes in, poor guy comes in, and you're like, oh, rich guy, come sit at the best place. We love you, rich guy. And then the poor guy, you're like, ah, forget you, you don't matter. That's what he's talking about here. And what is he saying? Generally, the rich people are the ones who have blasphemed the name of God, who have not considered God to be holy, who have not considered God to be awesome, who have not thought about Yahweh the way that he needs to be thought about. And there's a lot of passages about the dangers of riches, right? Why would they think God is so awesome when they don't have any need for him because of their wealth, right? I think we understand that. 1 Timothy 6:1, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Same word, the underlined word is the same word here and here. Same Greek word. Reviled or hated or thought less of because of the way that they would behave as slaves. He's talking about slaves. The way you behave as slaves is going to reflect on Yahweh. Now, this is especially interesting considering in Exodus 20 verse 7, that word that's translated take is at various times in the Old Testament translated as carry or bear or elevate or bring or spread, as we've used also. This idea that as you take the name of the Lord, you're doing hopefully everything in the name of the Lord. You bear his name. How you act is going to affect how people think about that name, right? Now, the name that most often is used in this way in the New Testament, as there's a switch, a lot of things about the name of Jesus, the name of Christ, the name of Yahweh, or not Yahweh, the name of the Messiah, right? This name thing then transitions and applies in a lot of ways to the name which is above every name, is what is said of Jesus, right? He has given him the name that is above every name. There is no other name by which men may be saved. So I think as we're thinking about this, a lot of things that we're thinking about here could be applied to Jesus and Christ, those same words. So we kind of wrap it all up here. We certainly should not use Yahweh's name cheaply, but I would ask, do you even use it reverently? Do you even use Yahweh's name reverently? Like, when was the last time you used Yahweh's name? I don't know. We use the word God, and the New Testament uses that word primarily, right? The New Testament, again, other than two places, doesn't really use the I am idea. So I think that's one of the reasons why this commandment, you shall not take the name of Yahweh in vain, is not repeated in the New Covenant, because the writers of the New Testament don't really use his name. It's very interesting. Do we use it reverently or seriously at all? Now, the New Testament, oh, I just said that. We could apply this to worship. We could apply this to conversations with coworkers, our exclamations of pain or shock or dismay. And really, when we think about this idea of the name, do you use God, not the word, but the person, do you think about God or talk about God or worship God in contexts that do not ascribe to him the holiness that he deserves? So when you're at worship and you're singing about God, and in some of our songs we do have I am or Jehovah, so I do like that. If you're thinking about other things and you're not really focusing on holiness and focusing on him and elevating and glorifying him, and you're not really paying attention to the songs, might I suggest that you are in some ways blaspheming his name? Because you're using it, you're talking about it, you're singing about it, but you're not really caring about it. You're not reverently using it, right? This would apply to conversations with coworkers when we talk about our deity, God, as something that is ordinary or common or not that important, or by our conversation we make it clear that we don't really care about what he wants or what he says or what his things, then we are using his identity in a cheap way, right? When we use it as, of course, the probably the most common one is exclamations of dismay when you stub your toe, or when something bad happens, or even when something good happens, we could have exclamations of joy, right? But we use the identity of God in those contexts, and we're not really thinking about God, and we're not really trying to have any sort of connection with God, and it just sort of comes out, where you're using his identity cheaply. Notice I'm not saying his name, because I'm not sure you're using his name there, but you're talking about this being, this holy, awesome, amazing being. You're talking about him in a way that is not holy or reverent or righteous, very cheap, very common. That's what it means to profane his name, to make it common or ordinary or worthless. One of the major translations of that word vain is worthless or empty. We certainly should not ascribe to Yahweh things that are unholy or wicked, and we definitely shouldn't curse him. Those are two things I think we've seen clearly as we've gone through this lesson. But this is the thing I want to focus on, because this is how the New Testament talks about it the most as we're thinking about the New Covenant idea. How we act, especially how we act around the lost, reflects upon the name of our deity. It reflects upon the family name, because we are God's household, right? We are of the household of God. Christians, these names that we claim for ourselves, Church of Christ, followers of God, so when we act poorly, guess what? It's going to reflect on that name poorly. Hitler ruined the name of Hitler for everybody forever because of the way he acted, right? Have you ever met somebody named Hitler? No, probably not. And if you did, I would think, why did you hate your children, parents who named your kids Hitler? Don't name your kids Hitler, guys, right? He has ruined that name forever. This guy that lived, I don't know, however many years, 60, wow, we're up to 70 years ago, 80 years ago, wow, long time ago, 80 years ago. This guy who lived that long ago has ruined that name forever because of his actions. We could ruin God's name in this area if we act unholy and selfishly and arrogantly and unrighteously and wickedly. Why would anybody want to call on his name, right? That's the way when we think about blaspheming the name of the Lord, that's what we're in the most danger of. So as we conclude this lesson today, if you talk about Yahweh in irreverent ways, you're using his name in a worthless manner. You are. If you talk about unholy things as belonging to Yahweh, you profane his name by associating him with common things. You're taking what is holy and making it seem unholy. If you worship Yahweh unseriously or hypocritically, you are cheapening the glory of his name. If you come here and you're worshiping and you're not really caring and you're not really paying attention, you're not really invested in it, then what glory are you offering? You're offering false glory to him and you're cheapening the worship and the glory of his name. If you live unrighteously and unrepentantly, you bear his name falsely. I don't think it's a coincidence. One of the primary ways to translate that Hebrew word vain is false. Do not take the name of the Lord falsely. How would we do that? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. And then what do? I do whatever I want. I don't follow his commands. I don't do anything that's pleasing to him. Guess what? You're bearing the name of the Lord falsely. That's what you're doing. Because you are not living in a way that shows and demonstrates, oh yeah, I do care about Yahweh. I do belong to Yahweh. Finally, if you cause others to think badly of Yahweh, you're blaspheming his name. You're profaning it, making it common and unholy. You are blaspheming your creator when you cause those who are around you to think badly of your God. Our God is what I should say there. How seriously do you take your relationship with Yahweh, his reputation in the world? Do you care about that at all? Is that something you think about? Is that something you care about? Now, you'll see in the guide that I try to put out a thing for you to think about during the week, if you have kids with your kids or just by yourself, in the bulletin, the guided devotional. One of the things I really want you to think about this week, in your, as we talked about this morning, in your private thoughts, in your mind, what do you call him? What do you call this being that we serve? When it's just you and him, how do you think about him? Do you think about him the way that he describes himself in Exodus 13? I am who I am. Thus say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then he says at the end of that passage, what? Thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Might I encourage you this week to start to think about God the way that he wants to be remembered? And also think about how your actions throughout the week make other people think about that being perfect and holy and awesome.